welcome to another episode of Insight with Ayo. Today we're with a legendary MC. He's going to have so much to say. Some controversial things as well that I personally don't agree with. But we'll see in it. Why not welcome the one and only Mr. Tando?
Yo, what's going on? I love the intro, man. Yeah. I love the intro.
We're introducing an MC, innit?
I wish, legendary, but yeah. All good, man.
You're a legend at the moment, especially really? On Instagram. I mean, whose wedding haven't you done? I mean,
loads, trust me. Loads, nah, bro.
But it's good to have you.
Thank you for having me, bro. Thank you so much.
And of course, with every guest, why not introduce yourself?
Okay, so yeah, I'm Mr. Tando, MC, host, presenter, speaker, all the usual good stuff, man.
Pastor as well?
Nah, that's it, pastor. I'm just a humble village boy, man. Just trying to make it in life, man. Just to put some food on the table. All good, man.
Aren't we all? And yeah, so obviously, Mr. Tando, your main trade is being an MC, I'd say. Yep. So why not just rewind the clock back a bit and just give us like the background as to like who you are, what you were doing before you became an MC, or how you even got into that.
To be fair, I actually started my love and events in photography. So I actually started as I wouldn't class myself a photographer, but a trying photographer.
So you took pictures?
Pictures, video. So I had a little company that I'd set up. Where I was doing sort of video, pictures, usual stuff, but it wasn't anything like big. It was just like, yeah, this is what I kind of wanted to do. Just out of uni, I started out with one of my boys, and then from there, it just literally, the love for speaking came. I'd always done sort of speaking and stuff, but it wasn't anything that was proper until I went to a wedding back in 2000 and I want to say about 13 or 12. And I was second shooting for another photographer. And I was seeing everything that was going on. I was like, rah, this MC, I could do what he's doing. Like, I could actually do it probably better.
Is it because he was dead?
Huh?
Is it because the MC was
dead? No, he wasn't dead, but I just knew I could do a better job, innit? I ain't even going to say the name, but...
Whoever's wedding that was, but I'm sure they're open.
Nah, he wasn't dead, to be fair. He wasn't dead at all, actually. He was actually really good. But I was like, no, I can actually do this. And from there, I literally just started learning the trade, seeing how it works. And then, yeah, here we are now, all these years later.
Nice. So you started around what year would that be?
What, in weddings or in speaking full stop?
I mean, you started speaking, what, after 6, 7, 8 months?
I was speaking as a speaker or presenter, whatever you want to call it, since 2009. And I got into weddings in 2014, the end of 2014.
Okay. So, the reason why I wanted to talk to you is because it's not every day that you actually hear what it's like in the day of a life of an MC. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Everyone just takes that profession, if you like, just as off the whim. Basically, this guy just got up one day and said that he's gonna come and bust joke on my wedding, and literally, now I'm paying him a grand.
A grand? Oh my god! No, a grand, bro.
But yeah. Don't worry, we're gonna get into the money.
A grand stuff. Five, my bro. I'm joking.
But it's like, so how do you actually, you know, pick up yourself and announce that, right, I'm an MC now?
Do you know what it is? I think is understanding what it actually takes. Like, a lot of people do have that notion of, oh, anyone could be an MC if you're confident, you can stand on a microphone. And yes, that is true. If you're confident, you can stand on a microphone, but it's about the service you actually can deliver. And it's always good. Anyone can stand in front of their own family and friends and talk and stuff. But when you get into a crowd where people you don't know, crowds you don't understand, cultures you don't understand, age groups that you're probably not familiar with, that's where the professional side comes in, and that's where more time people crumble. So I think being a speaker is one thing, but understanding, or especially if you're talking about weddings, is a different ballgame, isn't it? Because I've done events like outside of weddings, and I've done weddings as well, and it's completely different. You know, everything is different, from how you present yourself, what you wear, what you say, just all of that is kind of different. It's a different ballgame. And then from there, you just literally start working towards the brand as well. Because a lot of people even now still don't really understand the concept of an MC. Like, why should we pay X amount of money for an MC? It doesn't make sense to people, which is fine, because it does make sense to a lot of people, and that's obviously why I've been able to do it. So yeah,
basically someone has come in your DMs and argued with you about your price.
All the time, bro. All the time. But then, you know what? I charge it because I know what I can deliver. I mean, if you booked me back in 2014, it's not what I'm charging now. But with the years under my belt, I kind of have, you know, I got to charge it, innit? You know, I got to charge it.
So what are some of the things that maybe people don't consider, or they might, you know, they don't understand or they don't see when it comes to MCing? Because as far as people are concerned, you turn up on the day, if your joke bangs, your joke bangs. If you don't bang, you don't bang. You roll with the games. You give the order of, you know, pretty much service, if you like. And then that's it.
I think what people don't understand is the preparation. A lot of times when you go to weddings, people say to you, oh, rah, like, do you know the bride and groom? And they're like, no, I've never met them before. Or I met them 6 weeks ago. Or I met with them 6 weeks ago, but now I don't really know them. But there's a lot of work that goes into actually getting to know someone, because there's a lot of research. So you got to find out about them, about their families. You got to find out about what they do outside of, like, what they do in their life. You got to find out if they've got kids. If they don't have kids, you got to find out if, you know, their families get along, if their families don't get along. And the research is what puts together that relationship or the rapport, so that when you actually get there, it seems seamless. Because what you don't want as an MC is for someone to think that this person was just paid to be here, but he doesn't really know about them. You know, he doesn't really know. So that study is what people don't see. And then actually on the day as well, being able to manage a crowd is not easy. It's easy to speak. You can stand on a microphone to speak, but can you get people to listen to you? Do you have the voice? Do you have the authority to get people to actually listen to you, understand and you're taking them on that journey? And I always say, because obviously my brother's a DJ, so we work very well together. And I say that the role of the MC is really preparing everyone for that dance floor and getting everyone to have a good time. And you're taking them on that journey from beginning to end. So if you are not able to read a crowd, you're not able to deliver, you're not able to speak clearly, you're not able to get people on side, then the experience is already done. So yeah, you're almost like the tour guide of the wedding, taking people through.
The tour guide of the wedding.
That's it, my bro.
So for all those people that feel like MC is not necessary, now they know it's necessary.
You shut up. If it's not necessary, then don't book one, innit? The thing is, yeah, with MCing, it's one of those things that I say, you don't know the importance of it until you don't have one. That's literally the way. So I can't explain to you how important it is until you have a wedding without one, and then you're like, rah, I should have got one. By that time, it's too late. Unless, obviously, you get married again, then phone me, innit? But until that, then there's not much I can do. So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
And then, of course, in your journey, you know, from the first wedding, yeah, like, do you still remember the first wedding that you did the night before, how you prepared for that?
Everything, I remember. 15 or 14. Can't remember that. But I remember Porchester Hall, Barbara and Henry. I still remember that. It was like June or July sometime. I prepared for about 3 weeks because I didn't know what to expect. It was a Nigerian and Ghanaian wedding. And I was like, rah, this is the first ever time I'm going to speak in front of a big group of people. But I have to pretend like I've been doing this for a very long time, and I haven't. So yeah, there's a lot of preparation, a lot of asking, you know, to people that had been doing it for a long time, and just being like, yeah, do you know what? Like, you've been doing it. What happens? What should I look out for? What should I take into consideration? How do you deal with that? How do you deal with angry people? How do you deal with family members not happy about something? How do you deal with people trying to add things to the program? All of that was just like running through my head. But yeah, I remember it like it was yesterday, honestly. And all these years later, I can't even tell you how many weddings since, but yeah, man, it's been growth, real growth.
Nice. And like, obviously on this season, I'm talking to everybody about relationships and business. So either relationships whilst they're in their business, or like whilst they're getting it up and running, or, you know, the relationships before they're starting. So of course there's different relationships you can have.
Yep.
Customer relationships, family, you know, even more intimate, your spouse or partner, whatever.
Yep.
For you, like, how, like, what relationship would you want to talk about, and how has that relationship affected you being
Depends on what relationship you want me to talk about.
I mean, we can start with you and your parents. Like, how do you wake up one day and tell your parents, right, I'm not going to be a doctor, a lawyer, or engineer. I am going to be an MC. That's what I'm going to do. That's what's going to pay my bills.
Show them the paycheck beat. I'm joking. do you know what? It's one of those things where, like, my mom and dad were very much aware of my personality, very much aware of what the interests for me were. So I was actually quite lucky that I didn't have that challenge of, you're going to be a doctor, you're going to be this. I didn't have that, maybe being Ghanaian parents. It might be a bit different if I was in a Nigerian home, but I didn't
I don't really know, have I feel that. Ghanaians actually more strict, you know?
What? No way.
Yeah, I feel they're more strict.
No
<man.
laughs> way, no way. But I didn't have that sort of, oh, it needs to be like this, it needs to be like that. I was very much told, whatever is good for you, whatever you want to do, as long as you do it well, fine. So I had that push from the beginning. So I was calm. I didn't really have that problem. So from a parent's point of view, it was like green light from the start.
Cool. And when it came to your wife now, I mean, were you married before you became an MC, or were you MC before you met her?
No. I was starting before I met her, but I met her very early on. And then she's been with me through the whole journey. So from beginning to now, she's been there. So she's literally seen the genesis up until now.
So what are you at? Revelation, First John?
Definitely not Revelation, bro. I'm still Exodus, bro. Still Exodus. I'm still at the beginning, bro. There's plenty to come. I'm still at Exodus, but she's been there from the beginning.
And in regards to her support, or how she's had an input, what kind of things has
We launched a events company together, so MT Events, which is the sort of events management side of the business.
Whose idea was that?
My idea, but very much she was very instrumental, and she still is. And so she very much manages all bookings, all emails. On the day, she manages pretty much everything as well. So, you know, I think that what made it easy, I'm not gonna say easier, what made it easy was having her on board. And I think with all businesses, especially if it's going to be something that takes a lot of time or takes a lot of your time, you need to have her on side. And the only way for me that I was going to be successful if I got involved. And I have. And yeah, she's very much a part of the team.
Nice. And how did you negotiate the money side of things? Because it's always the money part that...
When you say money side, as in, what do you mean, like,
as in, so as the company, it's mm-hmm. your idea. Mm-hmm. She's a partner, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
So when it comes to, right, how are we going to divide this money?
Well, her money is my money, isn't it? My money is her money. So whether you want to take this, I want to take that, it doesn't matter. It's coming to the same place. So.
And that's how you guys do it.
Yeah, man. It's all one pocket. Well, so if I get it, then you get it, really.
Fair enough. Yeah. No, it's a good thing, because that's the part that always causes a divide amongst people, you know?
Yeah, money is can make or break people, innit? And it changes people a lot. But to be fair, I'm not someone that's money oriented. Like, I'm not a money hungry person. Although money is great, mine's more of the passion for what I do. So you can give me a job and say, do you know what, it's going to pay you £800 an hour, and that's great. But if I don't enjoy it, then it's irrelevant. Does that make sense? I might want to do it for a short period of time, but then after a while, I'm just not going to enjoy it. So that's it. But if I have something that I know pays enough for me to do what I want to do and achieve what I want to do, but gives me the right satisfaction in it, then yeah, let's go for that.
And speaking of money,
yeah,
when MCs start saying,
yeah,
right, for my services, for the duration of this time,
yeah,
I'm charging you a grand.
Yeah.
Why is that the case? What are some of the things that people should see, rather than see it as, am I really giving this guy a grand to come and laugh? What's that kind of money covering?
I mean, I wouldn't put a price to it, because every MC charges different. Some charge £200, some charge £2,000. So it just really depends on what they see their service or their time as worth. So I think every client needs to first know what their budget is, right? Yeah. So if you know that you can only pay a £500, £300, then that's fine. But don't be angry if someone can't accommodate your price, because their price is their price. Like for me, my price is my price. I can be flexible sometimes depending on what the requirements are, of course, because everyone's human, people have budgets, but some people might really, really want you, but it's slightly at their budget. There's things that you can do, maybe cut down on hours. We can do things to work it around. I think being that sort of people person is always more important than the money. But in terms of the price and whether they should just take the price as it is, it depends on how important it is. I mean, people spend 50 grand on decor. People spend 10 grand on food. Does that make sense? So what do you know what I mean? So you paying a grand on someone that's going to come and entertain for the whole night and give people a good experience, you paying 15 grand on, I don't know, drinks or food, you know, depends on where the importance is, isn't it? I know people that will say, I don't want to pay more than £200 for an MC because I don't want to. Fine. And they will spend 10 grand on the top table. I know people that will be happy to spend £1,500 on an MC, but only spend £800 on their food because it's what they see as important. So I can't really say why they should spend a amount on their MC. I'm just saying that whatever your budget is, just know that that comes with a level of experience and B, a type of service. And just like anything in life, more time than not, if you want something of a very good service, you might have to pay a bit of money for it. I'm not saying that I charge a lot, by the way. I'm just saying, I mean, I'm just still new in the game, so I'm just putting it out there. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, basically, in short, what you're saying is you get what you pay for.
Yeah. And you know what? No, there is obviously people that just start up. So obviously, as a result of just starting up, they have to charge because people might not know who they are. Yeah, people might not know who they are. They're still building their brand. They're still starting up. They're still quite new. They're trying to get bookings under their belt, all of that. But I feel like when you do get a level of bookings under your belt, you can up it. Because at the end of the day, the bigger I get, the more people want me. If I'm very, very cheap, then I spend no time with my family. So I up my price so that less people can put that. No, I'm joking. I'm playing. But yeah, that's kind of true.
And then obviously before we started recording, you were saying that people shouldn't get too excited and feel like, you know, there's ridiculous amounts of money in it.
Yeah.
What makes you say that? Is it because of COVID? So at the moment, no one's really...
Yeah, I mean, listen, we really going into the money talk. Okay, cool. Do you know what it is, yeah? Every service that anyone can provide, there can be money in it, right? Hence why they go into it. So, but my tolerance or my level or my expectation of what good money is different to what yours is, right? So I might think £500 a week is fantastic money. You might think that's rubbish. Obviously, you look like you get about £3,000-£4,000 a week. Do you know what I mean? So, like, everyone is different.
The guy behind the blind.
Everyone's different. So, for me, I think there is a lot of money to be made in the industry. I think there is definitely a lot of money, but for me, I feel like that's not enough. Not just money, but just in terms of...
what goes into it.
Yeah, it's just not enough. I feel like there's other things that you can do. And being a speaker, you're open to so many different things. Being a host, being an entertainer, you're open to so many different things. And I think that there's so much more you can do. So yes, if you want to just stick to weddings, great, good on you. Just not for me, personally.
So for you, it's the bigger picture, the
wider net. It's a brand. It's a business. It's more than that. There's so much things that require. Corporate is huge for speakers or hosts or Toastmasters, whatever you want to call them. There's a huge market for it. So if you're going to limit yourself to just, you know, community hall weddings or even lavish luxury weddings, for you, that's great, you know. But when we hit a COVID like this and there's no weddings, then a bit screwed, isn't it?
Of course. And if you are going to advise anyone that's thinking, I want to be an MC, but of course, right now, COVID isn't really the most favorable season to start such a career. What advice would you give them?
If it's now, I would say work on yourself, work on your brand, and work on your vision. Because once you have that done, everything else adds on. So if you just walk in with, I want to be a wedding MC, you're limited already, like I said before. So if you then say to yourself, I'm going to work on my brand, I'm going to work on a vision, I'm going to have an idea for the future. Once you've worked all of that out and you've got all the basics, or should I say the admin out of the way, you can then start going out to do things. So, you know, you say you want to start a brand, but your only source of where someone can find you is Instagram. What about if Instagram goes down? Your business is done. Is that what you're saying? You got a website. You haven't got maybe a YouTube or a Twitter or somewhere else that people can find you other than just social media. And sometimes I would also ask that person, are you doing it because you are trying to be famous or out there or people know who you are for the money? Or do you do it because you genuinely enjoy it? Because if you enjoy it, the money comes second. Does that make sense? When you're money orientated, you don't do the right thing. You don't really give that customer care. You don't really give that experience. Mm. And for me, it's all about experience. So every client that I have, it's about getting to know them on a personal level, understanding them, what they do, what they don't want, what they want. That's important to me. And the money obviously is great as well, because I can chop their money and eat their food for free. That's funny.
You just brought a question to my mind that you probably will answer, but I'll ask it anyway. Has there been weddings yet where you've been to taste the jollof and just been so disappointed? But obviously you can't really say that.
Yes, I will say that. I don't eat at every wedding.
You don't?
No, of course not. If I ate at every wedding, bro, I'd be sick. Some food you look at it and you're like, do you know what? McDonald's is on the way home, innit?
And how do you...
But you don't. I don't have to eat. I'm not obliged to eat at your wedding. I'm not obliged to eat. Do you know what? I tend to find out who the caterer is before. If I know the caterer, I trust their food. Yeah. And yeah, if it's just like a... Who's your caterer? We don't really have caterers. You know, all my aunties are cooking a bit. Then I'm just like...
But
yeah.
My auntie's Jack is really nice though.
Yeah, no. Nah, do you know what I mean? If it's not a trusted caterer, then it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen.
So then on the day when they tell you that... When they try to bring you food or something, like how
no
do you
one mean? Brings me food. Oh, I'm, you? I'm one of, yeah, okay. Yeah. I don't believe in that, man. People might try and put something to take my voice. Nah, do you know what? Do you know what? In life, I'm not really that sort of. We've brought you food, or we've packed you food, or just maybe it's my wife. That's what she's put in my head, or my mum. But I've just never been that. Oh yeah, thank you very much. Like, I probably won't take it, or if I do take it, it might just be like a. Thank you so much, and then it doesn't really make it to the home. Do you know what I mean? But if it's, you know, if it's like, let's say it's a hotel, everyone's getting food, I'll go and get my own food. I don't need someone to get me food. My job's mobile. I'm not a DJ. Do you know what I mean? My job's mobile. I put the mic down and I walk to the buffet line.
And that's it.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So if the food's not nice, there's nothing we can do in it. If I don't like it, more time the guests don't like it as well. So we're in the same boat.
That's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it is, bro. But it happens, man. That's what happens when you don't spend good money on your food, innit?
There you go. So 10k on the high table and £800 on the catering. That's it, is bro. A no-no.
I'd rather eat your back table, your backdrop than the food.
And then, of course, I must ask, what are some of the challenges that obviously you faced that upcoming MCs can be like, oh, okay, I would have known that.
The biggest thing I would say, the biggest problem that they probably will face is people not wanting to book them because they're not experienced enough. And I think that's something that you can't avoid. There's nothing you can do about it, but you just have to keep going. And what I say is, you know, content is king. So when you get that wedding, you got to record the hell out of it. Make sure everyone knows you're at the wedding. Make sure you have 5 or 6 different videos that you can post from that wedding, from different angles, from different places. So it looks like 5 or 6 different weddings, but whatever you get, you got to make sure you build content out of it. And bookings will come. I mean, I literally remember time sitting there back in 2014, 15 and just saying, bruv, like, no one's inquiring. Nobody's booking me. Nobody's coming to book me. And then you get to a point where it's just like, oh my days, I can't. The demos are too much. So it's a journey. But people are not prepared to put in the work. And you have to be prepared to put in the work. Because if you don't put in the work, it's not going to happen for you, man.
So even in MCing, there's no shortcuts.
No, it's not. Don't get it twisted. In life, there's shortcuts for people. You know, sometimes favor, innit? Favor can just hit you. But more time, you know, favor is not what's going to get someone to book you. They're going to want to see, how much work have you done? How many weddings have you done? You know, word of mouth, that sort of stuff. You only get that by doing it. And that's why I say the experience is key. So it's not just about getting that booking. But I always say, when I get to a wedding, the bride and groom have booked me already. They will never book me again. That's it. Our relationship's done. So I'm now serving the 250, 300, well, now COVID, 50 people, 30 people, 15 people that are there at the wedding that could potentially book me. So that experience is very, very important. So whenever you do, and that's with every business, the customer care is so important, because if you, you know, there's a saying that says, what's this saying? It's not about what you say, but how you make people feel. So that feeling of how you made that person feel at that wedding is crucial. It's very important. I mean, I've been to weddings and I've served food. I'm the MC, why am I serving food? But if something goes wrong somewhere, you help out. There's nothing, you know what I mean? There's nothing else I can do. There's no food or there's no this, there's no that. Help out if you can. Mm. And that's the experience that people remember.
Nice. Yeah, it's been very, very, it's actually interesting to sit down one-on-one with an MC and realize the stuff that, you know, it's not just a freestyle.
No, of course not. Far from a freestyle. Now, there is times when you're going to have to freestyle, of course. There's times the food is going to be ready in 20 minutes. Can you stall the crowd? You're like,
wow.
Jesus. You're going to need to give me some scriptures to read now because, and it's like, yeah, and then it's like, okay. And that's when I say to people, put the unexperienced MC there. Put the person that you think is a great speaker because he's the loudest in the family and see how they cope with half an hour filling a gap. That's where the difference is and that's where the experience comes and that's where you draw on. On that wedding, that's what I did. That worked really well. We can do this. This is a game that I played there. This is the way you speak to people, especially when they're hungry and annoyed. That's the sort of experience that doesn't come with he's a good speaker, but more the experience.
And would you say that as an MC, it's almost like driving? You just have to do it. You can watch all the MCs in the world, study all the best MCs, take everything.
And you know what it is with MCing is unique. It's unique to you. Like speaking is one thing, but the flair, the energy, all of that is unique to you. So I would say don't copy because all you're doing is you're being someone else. Mm. You know, you're just being someone else and that can't last forever. But if you're unique and you have your own style and the way you do things, people fall in love with that. And that is you, so that's you forever. Mm. That doesn't change. Do you know what I mean? But if you don't, then, you know, you start doing other people's stuff and other people's content and other people's games and other people's style and other people's things. And it's just, you don't know, man. Don't know. I've been to weddings like, this MC, man, Tando, he took all your stuff. I'm like, I know, man. It's life. What can I do? So, yeah, that's pretty much it, man.
Cool. And if there's anything that you'd want to leave with everyone as like maybe your top three takeaways, like, you know, if they don't remember anything else that you said, at least these three things they should go away with it and work
on. Is that in becoming an MC or just in life?
Becoming an MC, life.
Becoming an MC. Okay. If you're becoming an MC, be patient, be consistent, and care about your client.
Cool. That was quick and
PCC, patient, consistent, and client.
So all you need is the flashcards now.
That's it. Yeah, man. And get yourself your own microphone, bro. It's important.
Your own mic.
Get your own mic, man. What's branding?
Mm.
Branding is key. Can I add one? Four.
Go on.
Yeah, PCCB, branding. It's everything.
But now someone's going to come with like an emerald mic.
That's it. Why not? I got the red mic. I you know, that's what I did. I got a red top mic and it helped my brand. People were like, rah, that's the MCV's own mic. Yeah, it is. So yeah, that's what I would say. Patient,
consistent.
Yeah, patient, consistent, care about your client and get a good brand.
What the heck, you might as well throw in life as well. I did for life.
Life, love people, love God. And book the right MC.
You might as well finish it off with Jesus' name, innit?
Yeah, amen, amen. If there's anyone here that wants to give their life to Christ,
I'm done. I listened to the podcast. I was going to book the MC and then I found Christ in the process.
Bro, listen, that's the aim, innit? If you can find Christ as well, that's even better, man. That's even better. So, yeah, man.
So, does the salvation put a discount on the booking?
Never. Never. Never, never. You could be the bishop of all bishops. You're still paying my fee, B. You're still paying my fee, my bro. Man said salvation come with discount. Nah, bro.
Can you imagine? Oh, no, I listened to your episode and then I gave my life. So I was just thinking.
Great, man.
Because of the
relationship we now have. Definitely not. Definitely not. Listen, we were brought into this world to work. Tired. Even Adam, when he was put in the garden, right, he was there to work. He was made to work. So, you know, if you gotta eat, you gotta work, innit? So,
boy, that's what it is, isn't it? You can have the salvation for free, but
that's it.
Not the booking.
Not the booking, definitely not.
And of course, with every guest that comes on the show, I always ask them to give an interesting fact about themselves that pretty much you wouldn't know unless you listen to the episode. So it's your turn, Mr. Tyler.
Mad. Interesting.
Interesting fact. See, that's subjective to you, what you classify as interesting.
I mean, not really interesting. I don't really... What, that people wouldn't know?
I'll leave that at your discretion. I mean, it could be one you've used before. I mean, ideally, so that something that no one would know unless they listen to the episode, but...
I mean, just not really...
I mean, don't incriminate yourself anyway.
I mean, I'm a boring guy. Like, I don't really have something that people won't know. I mean, I was going to say that I used to be a photographer, but I mean, you knew that from the beginning. I can do a handstand. But because you can't see me, you can only hear me, you won't know if this is true or not, right?
Listen, I know that there's a couple of people laughing in their minds right now, just picturing you doing a handstand.
Bro, I can't do a handstand. I can't do it. I'm scared of heights. Is that interesting enough?
Yeah. I mean, if, like I said, it's subjective to you.
I'm petrified of heights, but I love flying.
So basically, what's your at a height that you feel is
not... I can go in a plane, I'm calm. Like, going up, going down, everything is... Flying is amazing. But I will never go on a ride.
Is it based on the amount of control you...
Yeah, see, this is... People would argue, but you not got control on a plane. So take away the plane, I don't like not being in control. When I'm not in control, I don't even like... being a passenger in a car, because it's like, yo, I try and brake for you even though I ain't got brakes on my side. Do you know what I mean? It's that sort of thing. So, yeah, when there's no control, I don't like it. And I think that's what rides does for me. Hmm. But flying...
Because anything can happen on that ride.
That's it.
One nut, one bolt.
And then my arms go, or my legs go, or something, and then I'm like, rah. Right. Or yet. For a £50, £30 ticket to Fort Park. It's not worth it, man.
I mean, you could MC with, you know, cordless mic and...
I could, yeah.
And just put one on your shirt or something.
I hear that, but I mean, that's...
A handless MC.
That's, yeah, so I mean, it's possible. There is definitely, you know, handless speakers that are fantastic.
Exactly.
But just not for me, man. I need my hands, man. I'm cool with them, man. I thank God for them daily.
Nice. Well, that's an interesting fact.
Oh, was that interesting?
Yeah.
What's the most interesting you've heard?
What's the most interesting I've heard? One person did, what was it? I think it was a 50-mile marathon or something on a bike or something like that.
Yeah, that's not me either, bro. That's not me, bro.
50 miles.
No. I mean, 5 miles on a bike is cool. 5 mile walking is good. 5 mile run is okay. But anything over that, 10 mile, then get... Nah. None of that. 50 miles?
5-0. Yeah.
No, that's mad. That's mad.
On bike as well.
Even 1 mile is a long time. Long thing, bro.
I mean, look, that's why it's an interesting fact. It's not something that everyone does.
I heard
day.
That. I actually hear that.
But anyway,
I've got another interesting one.
Go on.
I did how many steps did I do in that day? I did 60,000 steps a day, one day.
Where were you going?
But I walked from, just walked through East London all the way to Central London, back round. I walked for about 10 hours.
10 hours?
Yeah, bro. That's interesting, isn't it?
It is interesting.
Check me out. Yeah, I did that through summer. I was dead by the end of it.
Fully. 10 hours of walking. Yeah, what time did you start?
Started about 12. I got back about 10-ish.
Wow.
Yeah, it was mad. It was mad. I think it was
63K. What
you did? Catching
Pokemon?
That's just a challenge, isn't it? I think I did 63K. Yeah. I was broken by the end of it, bro. Broken. Never do it. Never try this at home.
It's a bit late now.
I know, isn't it? Don't try.
They've really started. Like, they're on their journey.
They're on their journey. Like, well, if you're listening to this, just stop, okay? Turn it back. It's not worth it.
65? Listen, nah. I drive too much to do that.
I hear that.
But no, it's been nice having you on the show, actually.
No, pleasure. Thank you very much for having me. Thank you.
I mean, you shared some nuggets. You've opened some people's eyes. So all those what, penny pinchers are going to stop pinching the pennies now.
They're
not even going to have any MC anymore because it's COVID, isn't it?
I heard that. Nah, listen, cut your coat according to your size. If you can't afford it, you can't afford it. You know, people have beautiful weddings on small budgets. I've been to weddings and it's beautiful and it's very small budgets. So don't be scared by the big bucks. You know, if they want to charge you $3,000, you can't afford it, just say thank you very much and move to the next one.
But you see, that's people it. Don't want to feel that awkwardness. Do you know what I mean? You've entered the DMs, you've inquired, and then now you've got to exit. But you see, what they want to say is they'll get back to you, but there's no getting back. The dollar ain't
that's
there.
That's it then, isn't it? That's it. It's life, man.
They just don't want to feel that embarrassment.
Yeah, I know. Don't worry, man.
You know how ingenuine that don't worry was? Like, it's almost like you said it like you're gonna, like you were gonna be the one
to
deliver the remaining
it's
balance.
Not
it's not like, that. Yeah, don't worry, man.
It's not that. It's not. No, it's not that. Making me sound like a bad, like.
How could I make you?
Nah, I'm done.
The microphone picks up what you say, mate. But no. Honestly, though, thank you for actually coming.
Pleasure, man. Pleasure,
I'm sure we'll
bro.
Definitely have another episode regarding another
topic. Definitely. No worries. Anytime, bro.
Yeah. Thanks again. We'll see you soon. Peace out.
Take care.